Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone, and welcome to Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by Thais Guy, who is two parts sass, one part straight talking, straight up truth talk. Thais is a motivational speaker, an author, a women's leadership coach, and an intersectional feminist on a heart-led mission to support the seekers, the visionaries, and the why the heck do I feel so stuck of the world, reclaim their sense of belonging by learning how to explore, trust, and express themselves unapologetically. Based on her own healing journey and decades of research and mentoring women worldwide, she's developed a comprehensive model that explores and offers tools and skills to heal the pervasive sense of unworthiness within women that she calls the worthiness wound. She received a prestigious first-class degree in management and has studied spiritual psychology, yoga, and leadership for over 10 years. Washingtonian Magazine named her one of the top 8 bloggers to know. The Huffington Post calls her an inspirational woman, and she was nominated for Forbes Magazine 30 Under 30 Award. So you can learn more about her online at iamthaissky.com, and I call her my friend. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you here. I'm going to start by asking you what adulting means to you.
Yeah, to me, the idea of adulting, I'm American, so I pronounce it differently than you, but I love your adult, I love it. So I would say that adulting means really being able to understand that your decisions and your consequences, your decisions have consequences, and that who you are in the world matters. And I feel like we all live in such an individualistic bubble where who we are is the only one that matters is who we are. And I think it's important that we step more into the sense of connection and belonging amongst each other and seeing that being a good human matters, not just for you. You know, self-development doesn't matter just for you, but also for your community and also for who you are in the world and how that makes an impact.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like self-responsibility is such a huge part of that. And at the same time, in isolation, that's no good, right? We need to be connecting with one another.
Well, and I'm an only child. And so I grew up without a really clear sense that my decisions and my behavior can hurt other people because I was always surrounded by adults. And when you're a child surrounded by adults, I can't hurt adults, right? They kind of keep that to themselves. And as I grew up, I started to have really painful experiences among my friendship groups of realizing, wait, who I am, what I say, what I do, it actually does matter. And it actually is hurting people. You know, when I gossip or when I talk behind people's back or et cetera, you know, perpetuate the drama, that's actually hurting other people. And that's when I first started to realize, wait a minute, my humanity matters, not just for myself, but for others. And so if I'm to be an adult, if I'm to be a good person in the world, I have to be looking at what I'm doing and how it's affecting other people.
So do you feel like that was a decision that you made or something that's happened little lesson by little lesson?
Yeah, I think it's more like a continual unfolding. And the last iteration of my unfolding was really seeing how, you know, in the spiritual communities, we tend to say that we're mirrors for each other. And that if someone says something about you, you're just really a mirror for them and you're just triggering stuff for them. And that's not on me at all. Right. And on the flip side, in the spiritual conversations, we also say you have to take anything that happens to you, it's your responsibility. And you are 100% responsible for your life. And so these are two very juxtapositioning ideas.
Yeah.
And I find that we're using these ideas to like picking and choosing them, depending on how much we want to avoid taking responsibility. So we take responsibility for when the good things happen. And yet when someone tells us that what we're doing is problematic or it's hurting people, we tend to go, well, I'm just a mirror for you. And I'm finding in my work that the beauty is if we can actually drop both of those things and just start to get curious at why you're receiving feedback from people telling you that this is happening. Get curious to see where you might like to take responsibility and where you like to not take responsibility. Get curious at the idea that maybe you're not 1,000% responsible for everything that happens to you. Maybe stuff just happens and the responsibility is in how you're going to respond and react. And how can you respond and react in a way that doesn't perpetuate the pain? So that's been like my journey this past few months, especially as it relates to being, you know, a feminist or being in the social justice world or being an activist or supporting other people embrace their humanity, is seeing that there are so many ways that we avoid taking responsibility, and saying that I'm just going to be a mirror for somebody is a great way to actually really continue hurting other people.
There's so much in there I want to unpack. As you're speaking, I'm really hearing that. And there's a sentence that gets, again, kind of bandied around a lot in the spiritual community. At least I've heard it a lot, which is around acting from your whole self rather than from your wounded self. And I feel like everything that you're saying can only be done once we are able to act from a place of love rather than from a place of defended.
Well, and what happens is so much of the spiritual community is around the concept of law of attraction that says that what you focus on grows. And so you can't possibly look at what's negative. You can't look at the wounds. You can't look at what's broken because then you're going to perpetuate it. And so we try to band-aid all of that into a lot of positive thinking. And the problem is that's not how our biology and our psychology actually works. And if we're not addressing our wounds, if we're not looking at our wounds, then they're actually what's running our lives. That's why we react instead of respond. It's not because we have a choice. Oftentimes when we say, you have a choice, you can choose how to respond. Well, actually, our biology tells us we don't have a choice. We will respond from our wound because we feel unsafe. And our biology is completely geared into making us feel safe. So we want to be careful when we're perpetuating this idea that you focus on grows and only focus on the positive, because I find that our wholeness only can come when we're loving and embodying and inviting in the wound and bringing it in and not seeing it as a problem or something that needs to be fixed, because I don't believe we need to be fixed, but rather seeing it as a part of ourselves that's just craving attention and craving healing. And when we can do that, when we can bring in that wholeness into ourselves, when we can accept all of these different areas of ourselves, then we're going to just naturally be different. We don't have to should ourselves. We don't have to say, well, you should be a nicer person. You should forgive. You should be compassionate. You should love and light. We just are that, because we're not, like you said, coming from a place of defensiveness and coming from a shut down place. We're coming from that whole space. It's a journey, and it's taken me over 10 years to even begin to understand this. And so I'm not saying that we'll get there overnight, but I think if there's anything that people can take away from this, is we can't be afraid of looking at what's not working. We can't be afraid. I promise you, you're not going to perpetuate it. By giving attention and love to what's not working, it actually transforms and changes and shifts.
Thank you for reiterating that. All of the work that I do really comes from that place, because I am about wholeness, right? And about embracing our shadows, which is how you turn that kind of misfit energy into a maven, literally by looking at it differently. I was really lucky. Fortunate, I suppose. I didn't always feel that way, but I kind of grew up in this world with parents who were hugely ahead of their time and who talked about this kind of thing all of the time. And so I was able to see firsthand from the generation above me what happened when people were spiritually bypassing and what happened when people were taking radical responsibility and really taking ownership of what was going on in their world and being willing to look at it with curiosity and love and the kind of love that holds you when you're snot and tears and wipes up shit, not the kind of love that is, you know, is namaste and sweeping away and hiding the things that aren't so pretty, you know?
Yeah, I'm reclaiming the word spiritual bypass, because I don't think there's anything spiritual about bypassing, right? So I feel like we need to just remove spiritual bypassing and just call it for what it is, which is bypassing, which is shirking your responsibility, shirking your humanness, and hurting other people. And I think the reason why spiritual bypassing, or bypassing happens is because, you know, we bring our egos wherever we go. You know, if once we decided that we're a yogi and that we're going to do yoga, we bring our ego right into that practice. And suddenly it becomes about how well you can bend your toes or how flexible you are or how often you go to yoga class. Your ego comes with it. And when we start to tickle our toes in the spiritual conversations and self-development and our ego is comes with us, it's very easy for us to take these spiritual concepts as just another way of separation. And if we want to attain that sense of oneness, which I'm not sure most of us can really ever attain in this particular lifetime, I think it takes a lot of evolutions for us to get to that place of oneness. But in order for us to really understand that we are truly all one, it's important for us to see where we separate ourselves from each other and do the work of looking into that. And I see a lot, you know, in conversations around social justice and racism, this idea that, well, you know, I don't see color because we are all one. But when we do that, while that sounds nice, what we're actually saying is, I don't believe your lived experience when you tell me that you've been oppressed and, you know, the victim of racism. And so we're not actually being one in that moment. We're actually causing even more separation. And so honoring each other's individuality and honoring each other's lived experiences and each other's stories is the way that we can bring in that sense of oneness, right? So for me, love is not about pushing away the bad and only looking at the good. Love is being able to be with the bad and the good and not make any of it mean something about ourselves and about the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think if you simplify that right down, for me, starting with the idea that there can be more than one truth is really, really important, because if we start with the idea that you have a truth and I have a truth and both of them are true and they can coexist simultaneously without wiping each other out. And as soon as I understand that, then I'm able to relax enough to not be defended, to hear your truth, knowing that mine is parked and safe and still there for me afterwards. And I think,
oh yeah,
sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need to really, like, on purpose adult ourselves by saying, I can have my my feelings around this back afterwards. I can look at what is coming up for me in this defended state afterwards. But right now, in this relationship or in this conversation, I'm going to listen.
I'm so glad that you brought up the idea of truths, because this is also something that I've been unpacking a lot. I feel like we have to start to differentiate between what is true and what is a belief system. Because those are two different things. It's, or I guess the better way to say it is the capital T of truth and then the lowercase t of truth. And I've actually gotten this very confused myself in the past few years. And I'm playing with starting to untangle that, which is a lot of times, you know, your belief system isn't true, isn't the truth. You know, it may be a version of the truth. It may be your version of the truth or your interpretation of the truth based on your stories and your experiences. And we can certainly honor your belief system. But it's not the capital T of truth. I think there's actually a very small number of capital T of truths. And I feel like it lands in our body in a deep, big way. And then we start to defend these truths as our own belief systems of truths. And we alienate people and we push people away. So I've been doing a lot of work because, you know, I come into this work as a white woman doing spiritual work 10 years ago, going into yoga, being very naive, and adopting a lot of these belief systems that I'm now seeing that are extremely problematic and that I'm starting to move away from. And yet, eternal truths haven't changed. You know what I'm saying? So when we can start to just understand that there's just some beliefs that we carry, then we can start to get curious about those beliefs and start to untangle them and not take them as who we are, because they're just the lens that we're wearing. And you can change your lenses, right? You can change your perspective. And I think that that can be so beautiful when we meet another person with another belief system, because then we don't have to assign them as being against us. We can, like you said, coexist with knowing that they're just different beliefs in the world, and not everyone has to have your belief system in order for them to be vindicated. Because what's the difference between that and what religions have been doing, you know, for thousands of years, knocking on people's doors saying that you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, right? There's no difference than that and what we're doing in the spiritual community. chasing, if you don't believe in vibrations and energy, then you're, you know, not going to attract the man that you want. To me, they feel like the same thing. So we have to be more, I think, open-minded, that just because someone carries a different belief system doesn't mean you don't both honor the same truths.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just playing with that. So you tell me what's up.
No, I think this is fantastic. And I really love this. Now, one of the things I wanted to do with this podcast is really keep it sharp and short and like,
yeah,
people one idea. And we've kind of done that, right? And we've talked about truth. We've talked about defensiveness and layers and being curious and open. And if someone is interested in doing something differently and getting more curious in the interactions that they have, have you got any advice or a tip or a suggestion or a thought that they could attempt to have a go at?
Yeah, I feel like the answer to everything for me is come inside your body. I think our body holds a tremendous amount of wisdom and it's constantly communicating with us. And if we want to really step into a space of being able to hold a container for people in a bigger way, and by that I mean not be as reactive and be more responsive, not be as judgmental, not be in a state of separation, but really step into the space of defenselessness, it starts by honoring when we want to judge, when we want to separate, and noticing how that feels in our body. So again, it's beginning to recalibrate our relationship with what's broken. I'm doing air quotes. People can't hear that. and noticing that we are human and we have very human limitations. And so instead of saying, oh, well, I should be able to be in oneness here, well, what if we were to instead just honor where we are not in our quote unquote oneness, or where we are in separation? How does that feel in our physical body? How does that feel? Bring it in, slow it down, bring it in. And the more that we can find a sense of wholeness within our body, I believe, the more that we can then operate as whole human beings and start to just be kinder, nicer humans.
Thank you. Now, because we talked about some really deep stuff and straight away,
yeah,
I like to end each of these podcasts with the I'm an adult, but. So I'll start and then you can do one, and maybe we have a couple, maybe there's only one each. And so as an example, I am an adult, but tonight I had pizza and kale for my dinner.
All right, well, I am an adult. Adult. I am an adult. but I have a month's worth of laundry in my bedroom waiting excitedly for me to do something about.
Yeah. Well, I am an adult, but today I tried to hang a picture on the wall by myself. I knew I should have asked for some help. I didn't want to. I wanted to do it myself. And now I have a big hole in the wall and I had to text my landlord and ask for help and admit that I can't hang a picture on my own.
That's amazing. I am an adult, but I have not cooked a meal for myself in a week, 7 days, something like that.
Thank you. I feel like that was a really great way to balance out what we just talked about. Thais, for anyone who is listening, who wants to find out more about where you can engage with her, then they'll be on the show note page. And there will be links to everything. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.